more of like a Bible study for those that lead in worship in churches. And so, wonderful resource for those who are involved in worship to get to know the Lord a little bit more so that you can lead in an effective way and lead people to knowing more about Him.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, Jim, you know, as a, you've played in praise band, worship band.
And that you brought that up. We are going to start using this book.
Oh, yeah.
I talked with our worship leader, Gay Martin, our music director, about that, and that when we meet to practice, we should also have a time of devotion before we even start to rehearse and practice for the service. So I'm going to use that as a resource to start having a time of devotions before we even get to the practicing part. So
great thoughts.
Yeah, it's a terrific book. Highly recommended.
Check it out.
You know, this morning on Daybreak, we're looking at a resource for worship leaders called Pure Praise. We're speaking with its author, Dwayne Moore. Dwayne, as a worship leader, when you're planning your worship set, the songs that you're going to do on any given Sunday, do you take into consideration what music your congregation enjoys singing?
You have to, Deb. I don't see how we can't take that into consideration. So the answer is yes. In fact, just the other day, while I was meeting with our praise team and talking about some songs that we don't actually personally like a lot, but we're going to try to do them because we've had some people request them in our church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, the reason we're wanting to do them is because it's more than just about us and our and our likes and dislikes. It's about the body of Christ as a whole. So the answer is yes, we certainly do take into consideration what others like, whether they're older songs or newer songs. But let me emphasize something here. When we plan a worship service, we don't plan it to make sure we got two hymns built in today. It's not about that. Or let's make sure we got one of those contemporary songs. No. That's not the point. The point isn't, but rather that we're led of the Spirit of God. There may be days when we just sing one song, you know, or two or three songs that are all older songs. But you know what? Those can be very powerful songs. And I think the point is we've got to teach our people. It's not about whether I like it or not, but whether it honors God and whether my heart is sparked by the words of that song. And if we point our people in that way, it becomes Jesus music rather than contemporary music or older music.
I would venture here, Dwayne, being someone who doesn't know a lot about this particular dimension of ministry, that there's also lots of opportunities for someone who is out there in a leadership position, particularly in a musical way, to let their let themselves get in the way of things, let their kind of what you were talking about a moment ago, but also kind of an ego temptation, because regardless of what we know the true motivations for worship are supposed to be, it's still a spectacle and carries with it some of those temptations, right?
Oh, yes, it does. And I think any honest person, you know, that really gets transparent, that stood up on a stage or participate in that way, would have to say that they've struggled with that from time to time. I certainly know I have. When I was in high school, kind of a humorous story looking back, but it wasn't funny at the moment. A friend of mine and I were doing a joint concert together. He was he went to the school. He was a newcomer on the block, you know, and he was at our high school, and he and I decided to do a concert together. And, boy, he could sing incredibly well. And so, you know, my girlfriend was sitting out there, and I wanted to impress my girlfriend, so I wanted to sing better than him. And the Lord just literally shut me down that night. I'll never forget that. Oh, my word, it was horrible. I couldn't even get on pitch. And it's like the Lord said, I'm your song. I am your song. And if you ever try to sing it without me, you won't sing it. And he just took it away. And I think we've got to remember it's not about the performance part. Now, there is an element of that. In fact, in day one of week eight of Pure Praise, as we challenge our readers to consider what our goals are when we lead worship, our first goal is to impress them. And I don't mean to impress them with our beautiful voices or our looks or anything else, but to impress them with a good impression that we are prepared and that we are wanting to be there and that we are aware that we are leaders, that others are watching us. Okay, that's important. But ultimately, we've got to point all that praise, all those eyes, back to the Lord. That's got to be our ultimate goal.
Dwayne, now we've been talking mostly about those that are in leadership and worship, but how about those that are just in the pew they come to Sunday morning service and, oh, there's that song they can't stand. And what does it take to be a good worshiper in the pew?
Great question. Thank you so much for asking that, because one thing that we so firmly believe, and we found to be true with the book, the principles in pure praise apply to anybody. Mm-hmm. And we've had a lot of non-musicians, as you say, I love that term, worshiper in the pews. We've had a lot of those folks go through our study. We've had whole churches go through pure praise, not just worship teams. And I think that's important, because every one of us, whether we're standing up there, given some kind of title or not, we are an influencer in that service. And I believe that a person out in the congregation plays a huge role in that service, and for a couple reasons. For one, in a selfish way, for me, I'm up on the stage, and I'm one of the guys that's watching them. I pick out three or four or five faces of people who encourage me that look like they want to be there, that look like they are actually not just enjoying the music, but they are focusing and attentive to what God may be doing in that service. I focus on those people. They encourage me. But also, it's important for them to be that way, because they can influence someone around them, another worshiper, another person in the pew. They can influence people around them by their demeanor. If they pick up or if they stand up and sing a song, you know, that's on the video screen that they don't know, rather than having a scowl on their face and saying, well, I'm just not going to sing this song, you know, that really makes an impact in that service.
That is Dwayne Moore, and he is the author of Pure Praise, a heart-focused Bible study on worship. And I see here you're the founder of Next Level Worship, and that's probably where people go to find this resource?
Yes, please go there, nextlevelworship.com. And I've got a lot of great resources on there, some free stuff they can download. They can download a free sample chapter, actually, of Pure Praise at nextlevelworship.com. Yeah.
Dwayne Moore, thank you so much for joining us this morning and for your instruction on worship.
Oh, thank you. I'm learning, too. We're all learning together on this. So thank you so much for the opportunity.